As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture this day, if you are able, would you please stand? Hear these words from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are those standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his glory." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of the holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their claim, for their teaching, for their practicality in daily life and living. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you would give us comfort, that you would give us rest from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. That's good to know. That's a phrase that we sometimes use when someone passes on a bit of trivial information or odd information or just something that we choose to hang on to. That's good to know. I mean, who would have thought that on a jar of peanut butter that they would need to put a label that says may contain nuts? Okay. Or that money doesn't grow on trees. A little bit weird, a little bit obvious, but nonetheless, those facts are good to know. But even Jesus is not immune from offering up such insights. Like when he says it's good for a person, or what good is it for a person to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? It's a little weird, but it's really obvious. It's kind of good to know. It's estimated that at any given time, 0.7% of the world's population is drunk. Good to know. On average, and I'm not sure if this is just in our country, I hope not, I hope it's worldwide, on average, 12 newborns will be given to the wrong parents every day. That's good to know. Oh, in the 1830s, ketchup was sold as a medicine. Cure for baldness, not sure if you eat it or put it up here, and a cure for athlete's foot and all points in between. Good to know. The world we live in is filled with strange but useful facts. The stuff that can just catch us a little off guard, but you go, oh, I might want to hold on to that tidbit of information stored away in my brain. Like, for example, are you aware that more people are killed every year by coconuts than by sharks? I said that the other day, and Abigail said, oh, yeah, I know that one. What? You don't get 10 bucks for that one.
So if you're going away on a vacation, don't sit under a coconut tree. Scripture as well is filled with some of these good-to-know truths. Take the book of Proverbs, for example. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14. If you don't believe me, look it up. It says this: whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. In other words, wait until your neighbor wakes up, has their shower, cup of coffee, and a bagel, and then shout blessings at them. Good to know.
Jesus' words to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 are packed with some good-to-know insights. We know that just a few verses earlier that Peter had the greatest aha moment in history, clearly confessing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet here now comes Jesus hot on those words with a strange list of insights that, well, bring us to reality and out of that joy. They are loaded with truth that, well, we just can't ignore them. Can't help but sense that at some point in our lives, this information just might come in handy. They're good to know. Let's look at a few. Look at verse 21. Jesus is not surprised by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus saves us and goes to the cross with his eyes wide open, knowing full well what is coming. Oh, it's tempting at times to see Jesus as an accidental savior pushed to the cross rather than one who walked right into it, seeking to embrace it full well on our behalf. Jesus knew that the path of righteousness he was to take and the trial that he was to follow, he knew full well what was coming down the road. Jesus knew that he was going to offer us hope in our lives today. Secondly, good to know, Jesus does not need us to protect him, to defend him. Rather, Jesus just simply needs us to follow him. That's also very good to know. Look at verses 24 and 25. Discipleship is not about protecting Jesus or ourselves for that matter. In this broken world, everything around us seems to be backwards. We will only discover the greatness of Almighty God when we know and experience our human limitations. And yet we fight against this every single day, 1,000 different ways through our living and through our prayers. And yet we must always live into the truth that God's grace is located at the end of our ropes, not at the top of our ropes. Oh, the world is filled with some strange and obvious information. You can go online to dumbwarnings.com. It's a website that has collected some of the dumbest warning labels found on everyday products. For example, a Zippo lighter warns users, do not ignite in face. Really? Or a warning on a Bayer aspirin bottle that says, do not take if you are allergic to aspirin. I was on it again this morning when I was having my breakfast, and my favorite one. On a bottle of unknown hair coloring, it says, do not use as an ice cream topping. Really? Why do we have to put a label on candles that says, remove cellophane before lighting? Oh, come on. You're all thinking right now, how about that lady that got her coffee at McDonald's and burnt herself? Well, do you know, 15 years ago, did you go to McDonald's to get cold coffee? You can now, but you didn't then. Of course it's hot. After the first service, I had people coming up to me, Fritz, what, the little handicap parking thing that hangs on your rearview mirror, do not leave here when you're driving. Diane said that sunshade that goes across the whole windshield, removed before driving. Hello? George Hollenbeck said to me, how about this one, David? In a sports magazine, you can buy a portable toilet seat that fits into your hitch on the back of your pickup truck. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not really where I want to go. But then it says, caution, don't use while vehicle is moving. Oh, come on. That's not the kind of movement you're looking for. I couldn't resist. But you know why those labels are on there? Because someone did what they're cautioning you against. Now, while these warnings may be obvious to the average sober person, the sad fact is that they're there only because someone did what they're cautioning you against. Someone did, in fact, flick a Zippo lighter in their face and catch their beard and hair on fire. So that information is useful and, well, good to know. Perhaps that's how some of these insights of Jesus strike you. A little strange, true, obvious. And yet, my friends, for a good number of those who grace our churches and fill our sanctuaries, and especially those who are outside the walls of our churches, who walk the streets of our neighborhoods, our places of work and play, the idea of a God who chooses suffering in order to save the world is a little bit strange. The idea of discipleship as discovering God when we are at our end rope, rather than when we are doing our best, is just perhaps a little bit new information. And yet it's all good to know, essential to know. But many don't yet know it, or at the very least are in need of being reminded of it. Which of Jesus's strange but essential, tough but true teachings that are good to know do those individuals in your care need to know? Those who were in your presence last week, those who will be in your presence in the week to come, what do they need to know? Is somebody at a particularly low point needing to be reminded that they are now even closer to Almighty God than they were in their greatest moments? Is someone near the end of his or her existence, fighting for breath and wondering, has it all been worth it? Is someone wondering where the hope and joy of life are? Have they experienced the incredible power and presence of God's healing grace and forgiveness? Do they know the one who will always be there? Will you tell them about him? A regulation golf ball has 336 dimples on it. John Lennon's first girlfriend was named Thelma Pickles. The plastic bag that you brought your groceries home in is not a toy. All things that are good to know may come in handy in some trivia game. They may come in handy when you're sitting around having a conversation that is insanely boring. Now you've got some conversation starters. If such remote facts are useful, how much more useful are the words of Jesus Christ in this morning's text? Store those words away somewhere in your brain and in the hearts of people so that it might be used later on. We can park the truth that Jesus doesn't need us to protect him right next to Jimmy Carter was the first president born in a hospital. You'll never know when you need to access those two truths. But something inside me tells me that we will, and something inside me tells me that one of those truths is a little more important than the other. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your words of Scripture, those bits of trivial truth that we store away just to bring them out in those moments when needed. Oh God, we know that the scriptures, you tell us that when we need the correct words, they will be there. As you send us out into the world, oh God, we pray that we will be in tune with your spirit, in tune with the teachings of Jesus Christ, so that the timing of our words just might be perfect. Send us, bless us, anoint us. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.